And grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I would like us to go to that letter, Paul's letter to the Romans, as we heard this reading from chapter 10 this morning. And the verses that I'd like to hone in are on the screen before you, verses 13 to 17. If that's hard to read, it's in the bulletin as well, or if you have your Bible, and the sermon notes outline are there as well. But we hear, as God inspired Paul to write these words, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." Well, this morning I want you to think about people in your life that you look up to, And maybe look up to them because they have a similar passion that you have. And, you know, maybe it's just the work that they've done you're just really amazed by. And if you were out on the street in conversation, you could easily, from the heart and your mind, just naturally begin to talk about the subject of that person. Now, few people in my life. One is Billy Graham, the great evangelist. Another is Coach McCartney, who used to coach the Colorado Buffaloes, and certainly with his leadership and Promise Keepers. And we are wearing red today, so I'd have to bring up Coach Osborne, who just has a tremendous mentoring program that has gone all over the country. Many schools are following the model that he's established to mentor kids. But then there's another passion of mine, and if you've been around me very long, it comes up pretty naturally. If you go in my office at the school, there's airplanes all over the place, and it's aerospace. And, you know, if the Lord hadn't called me into the ministry, I definitely would have been in that industry somehow, as a pilot, as an engineer, or something. But one in that avenue that I look up to is the guy on the screen, Burt Rutan. And if you don't know anything about Burt Rutan, he probably has his hand in most designs of most airplanes today. And certainly he was a guru years past in developing plastic airplanes, composite materials. And Boeing's newest jet, the 787, is pretty much a plastic airplane. And this gentleman here had a lot to do at the groundwork of developing that kind of a process. But I want you to think about in your life, who are those that you look up to? Who would you love to get a phone call from? And they would say to you, you know, would you represent me? Would you go out and share this passion that I have with others? Who do you think that would be in your life? Because it's very easy from the heart and from our minds to speak those passions that are within us. But you know, think about it, as we hear from the book of Romans this morning, we don't have human beings per se that are coming to us. It's not as great a thing, even if they did, as this one who is true God and true man, our Lord Jesus Christ. And did you hear it in this reading in Romans 10, verse 15? And this is a quote from the prophet Isaiah that God inspired Paul to write down. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. And the good news is the good news of Jesus Christ, the salvation that he offers to the world, that salvation, that victory that becomes ours personally through faith. And what a tremendous statement. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. And you know, Isaiah, when he wrote these words as God inspired them, it was in the context of God's people being released. They went into exile, remember, in Babylon, and it hadn't even happened yet, but the prophet Isaiah was prophesying all of these events, and even the return, and it's in the context of the prophecy of them returning from captivity, and there are heralds that are going before them, and they're proclaiming, "Your God reigns." And it's in that context that Isaiah spoke and wrote these words, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." What a statement. We couldn't have a greater honor than to be the messenger of God, to be God's spokespeople upon this earth. And you and I have been called into that great mission and ministry. And you know what's really incredible about this is God is God. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He can do all things. There are no limitations with Him. And so God doesn't need us. It isn't like God calls us to do this or sends us to be His messengers because He needs us, which even makes this more incredible. But He does it to honor us. And that really becomes important for us to understand in being a messenger. And I'll explain that in a moment. But think about that. God doesn't need us. Last Tuesday, had a wonderful time with some of our teachers at a little retreat at our home in Windsor. And anyway, one of the passages I shared with you guys that day was Paul's event that took place in Athens, the Apostle Paul. And in Acts chapter 17, Paul was invited to speak before the think tank of the day, the philosophers, the great teachers of the day, and they offered to Paul a hearing. Now, for many, that could be quite intimidating, but not for Paul, because he knew the Lord was with him, the Lord had sent him. And in his message to them, these words were spoken. "The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man." And then look at this. "Nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything." God is God. He doesn't need anything. "But since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything." Do you realize we wouldn't have life and breath, we wouldn't even exist if it wasn't for God calling us into existence. He's the one who has given you and me life, physical life, but He's also the one who has given us this new life in faith. And what a journey we are on together as God's people. And so God wants it to be made clear to us that He is not dependent upon us. Can you imagine how scary that would be if God was depending upon us? Whoa, that would be a huge weight on our shoulders. He is the giver of life to all, and He is the giver of all that we have. He provides all things. And you may ask the question then, well, if that's the case, why are we here? Why do we need pastors? Why do we need teachers? Why do we need any of us in this room? Why would God include us in all of this? And it's because He chooses to. Isn't that awesome? The highest authority, the one who is from everlasting to everlasting, the Almighty God who knew you and me before we were a thought in the wind to our parents. He's known us from everlasting past. And He is the one who chooses to include us together and individually to serve Him. What an honor. Well, in Ephesians 2:10, another passage we looked at last Tuesday, but this is an incredible verse. Look at this. As Paul wrote these words, as God inspired them, "For we are His," meaning God's, "we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Have you ever thought about the ramifications of that word of God to you and to me? It's incredible, first of all, that we are His workmanship. And Kathy Winsheimer, when we brought this up, she said, yeah, what that really means is we are God's work of art. And that is so true. He is our creator. And you think of an artist painting a picture, or you think of a sculptor artist, you know, presenting this piece of work, and they're working meticulously on it. And you know the hours that they spend on it. And me, not much of an artist, I look back, and when they're only partway done, I think, wow, that looks good. I bet they're almost done. And then they start erasing things, and they redo it, and they start re-sculpturing things. And they do it over and over again. And then after all that meticulous work and thought and time, they step back and it's like, yeah, that's it. Well, you know, think about God in that light. When He says to you and me that we are His workmanship, I want each of you to say that and say, I am His workmanship. Say it with me. I am His workmanship. You understand the power of those words? And then not only that, but here's the honor again, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Now this isn't to save ourselves. We cannot save ourselves by our good works. This is to the church who has already been called by God's grace. It's a gift. We are now in His kingdom. And the Lord says, you are my workmanship. And by the way, I have specific works for you to do. And not only that, but I prepared these ahead of time. Now think about that. Especially if you're having kind of a downer day and thinking, boy, I don't know why I'm here. I don't seem like I'm worth all that much. Just hear God's voice. Oh, yes, you are worth a lot to God. So much, as we see the prominent cross in our sanctuary, that Jesus died for you, that you could be in this position. Wow. His workmanship. And God says, I've got a plan for your life. I've got things for you to do, and I've already got it laid out. My agenda is already in place, and all I'm asking of you, says God, is that you would be faithful. Faithful to the agenda, the commissioning that He has given to us. And you know, it doesn't matter what avenue of work we're in, pastors, teachers, garbage collector. I mean, you can go right down the line of all the work that God's people do out here in the world. We have unity in our calling. And that calling is to share the good news. And so we look again at Romans 10:15. Hey, just an incredible passage. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. And you know how important it is that you and I do this, that we submit to God's calling? You know, in Romans 10, verse 14, we have a series of how questions. It's kind of interesting how God presents this. How then will they call on Him whom they have not believed? I mean, you can't call on somebody you don't even know, right? And how are they to believe in Him of whom they have never heard? If you've never heard of Christ, you're certainly not going to believe in Christ. And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And so the emphasis God gives is the word must get out, because it's the word that changes hearts. And so in verse 15, God does something about this. And how are they to preach unless they are sent? And then there we see it. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Now, God is very orderly in the way that He has structured His church. And He's called me to be a pastor, to serve in the public ministry. And God is very orderly in how He's established the public ministry. But there's an extension to this ministry, and it's right here before me. as I look at all of you. And teachers, God bless you for the talents and the abilities that the Lord entrusts to you, to all of our teachers that are here in this room. He has called you to this specific task and work that He entrusts to you. But to all of us here, collectively, He has called you and me to be an extension to this public ministry out on the front lines of everyday life. That, Angela, I loved how you shared with the kids. You know, that we are to be teachers, whatever age we are, to be out there wherever we are with other people and to be teachers of the Word of God. We are here together to work together as the Lord has gathered us together. That's pretty cool. It's our calling. Faith comes from hearing. It's incredible that God has preserved His Word, the Holy Bible, the inerrant Word of God. And all He calls upon us to do is to go forth and to live it and to share it, to be messengers, and to recognize and never forget the honor that we are given. To tell people that Jesus died for them, that God loves them so much that He died for them as He has died for us. To share the gospel. And that gospel changes hearts. We're testimony of it here. Faith comes by hearing. The Word includes the Word of baptism, right? Through the Word, the water is empowered. And so, by hearing the Word, by being baptized, God is meticulously working in the hearts and minds of people to bring them to faith. But let me ask you this. Imagine if no one would have told you. Imagine if you grew up in a home, and maybe some in this room did, where you weren't introduced to Jesus Christ. Where maybe it's parents that say, I hate this statement, but it's, you know, kids, we don't want to impose on your belief system. So when you get old enough to make your own decisions, then you can go to whatever church you want, you can worship whatever God you want, because you should have that freedom to make that decision yourself. It's a common thing today. Totally contrary to sharing the Word of God, as God commissions us to do so. But imagine if we grew up in that kind of home. God does not want us to be silent, dear friends in Christ, but that daily people can see the passion of the Lord within our hearts and on our minds, like those great hobbies and other passions that we have in life, that when they're around us for just a little while, they know right away where we're coming from and who we are really representing. We are God's children. We are an extension to this marvelous ministry that the Lord has entrusted to us. And here's something really key for us to know and understand. And it takes the burden off. You and I cannot change the heart of anyone. You know that? We cannot change the heart of anyone. We don't have the power to do that. Only God can do that. And you know, that's huge as we go out and we share God's Word with others. Because if we think we're the ones that are able to change their heart, we may look at somebody and say, oh boy, I know, they're mad at God, or don't bring God up with them because I tell you, they don't want to hear it. And then we cower and we fall back and we don't carry through the sending that the Lord has given to us. But if we know that all we are called upon to do is share the Word, that's a pretty easy thing to do. And God bless you, teachers. Think about the kids that you are impacting early in life as they come to you and as they look up to you as their teacher, and you are able here at Trinity Lutheran School to share with them the good news of Jesus Christ unapologetically, openly. What an atmosphere we have in our school that we have the freedom to do that. And so in verse 9 of this text, we hear And summing this up, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You see, the Lord is calling us to be genuine, to be true to ourselves, to the calling that we have received as children of God. And in verse 13, we hear that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This isn't complicated. And how are they going to call upon the Lord? It's verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. I want to tell you a story. I grew up in a different church body than Lutheranism. And I grew up believing that I had to contribute to my salvation through the works that I did. And heaven was always in question. It was never a certainty. But you know, there was a person that came into my life, a pastor, a Missouri Synod Lutheran pastor, Bert Shermer. He's in heaven now. But I can tell you the room I was in, the house I was in, and I could take you there and show you where Pastor Shermer was seated in the living room for a home study Bible study. And I remember he said, "I know I'm going to heaven." And I thought, that is the most arrogant statement I have ever heard. Nobody can know for certain they are going to heaven. But I tell you what, through God's word, that evening, God changed my heart. And it was then that I really began to understand grace. One snippet moment of seeing Jesus for who he really is. Now think about that as we focus on our school teachers. You may be a little nervous about things coming up and, oh boy, wonder if I fail, wonder if I do something wrong, wonder if I give these kids the wrong impression. Don't allow those burdens to weigh you down. It's good to be responsible, but know that the Lord is with you and the burden is on Him. But you are honored to be a messenger. And you know, there's probably already kids that have gotten older that have had you as their teacher, as their mentor. And like me, they may be talking about that time. Maybe it was just a Photoshop moment when you had conversation with them and the gospel really connected with them. And they'll be talking about that the rest of their life. That is the honor that the Lord bestows upon you as you teach. And you know how I said that Bert Rutan kind of has his hand in most aircraft design today? Well, the Lord has his hand in everything. And notice the whole? Jesus died, but he rose again victoriously, and he lives, and his hand is in all that we do. As he calls us, honored to be his messengers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the victor. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds always in Christ Jesus our Lord.